Blog Talk Radio.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Joshua from the great city of Santee, South Carolina, and we're coming to you again with the Triple Wing Hammer Report, and my, did the weather change quick on us. I look outside and had everybody going crazy this morning because we got 5 snowflakes to hit the ground, and you know we can't, South Carolina, we cannot, well, where I live, we cannot handle snow. You know, we shut down everything around here because of a little bit of snow, but I'm only kidding with that. Some of the people that's going to be get hit hard, just prayers are with you because this looks like this is a nasty system coming through temporarily. I want to welcome all of you tonight. Hope you had a good week. And those guys who were at the conclave, I know you blew it out. I couldn't make it this year because some issues we had locally. And I had to stay back to check some issues with the school and everything. But I look forward to looking at the videos and again, you know, seeing what everybody presented because it's, you know, I miss it every time I go out there and I hate missing the Sermon on the Mount. You know, it kind of gets me rejuvenated every day and, you know, every year I go. So, you know, I hate I miss it. I guess I can't say any more about that. Listen, we got a great show tonight. I saw this guy years ago, his stuff on the internet years ago, and I kept looking at it in amazement. I said, now, how is this dude doing all this stuff right here? And I said, it doesn't make sense, but it was working. And so I started, I think I called him one day from my classroom, and he was gracious enough to, I don't know if he remembered or not, but he was gracious enough to send me some stuff, send me some videos and everything. And it just opened my mind up completely to a new brand of football. You know, he's one of the best at it. I can tell you that. And I'm excited to have him on. I'm pumped because, you know, like a lot of our guests and everything, I learned so much, but just to be able to talk to this guy here and, you know, to him to be so gracious to come on, all the way from the West Coast, Bruzine. So let's see if we can pull him in here and see if we can get him going here. Bruce, are you
How
there?
You doing?
I'm doing fine,
I'm here.
Man. Yeah, good. How's everything going with you?
Going good.
That is great,
going
man.
Good.
And I hope I did well with the intro of you. I don't want to send the money back that you sent me, you know, to introduce you and everything. I hope I did okay.
You did awesome. And you know what? I do remember when you called.
Okay, yeah. I was just enamored by what you were doing out there, and I was and kept looking at this stuff and kept looking at this stuff, and I said, I got to call this man in action. And all I remember, your webpage, I forgot what you called your webpage, but it was green. Am I correct? The background color was green or something like that?
Yeah, the BC Warrior.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, and I that's all I can remember about it, but I had to go and look at that stuff, man. How's the family and everything, Bruce?
Everything's going good, really good.
Now, you moved from California, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm up in Oregon now.
Now, is that the normal? Is that the normal thing that guys do? They move from California and go northward?
No, I'm a California guy my whole life, but I met my wife on the internet, and she's from Eugene, Oregon, and when they the school I was at started downsizing, so they decided that they didn't need a teacher to be the head coach anymore. They could have a walk-on, so they kind of downsized my job. So it was like I just told her, I go, yeah, it's time to move, and so we moved up to Oregon where she's from. And so, you know, being a Southern California guy my whole life and then moving up to the rain, it was kind of a different thing. You know, like I'd never seen snow before unless I went up in the mountains. And you know, now it snows here and it rains all the time. And, you know, but it's a different environment than I'm used to.
Okay. Now, I'm sure everybody knows you because you have been prolific, and you know, as far as presence on the web with your system and everything. But for those two people that don't know you, would you mind going through your background a little bit?
Yeah, I been a coach for 32 years. Most of it was in Southern California at a high school called Brethren Christian. Now I'm up here in Oregon at a high school called Harrisburg. I'm just an assistant coach now, kind of semi-retired, but I'm still coaching full time. Pretty much, you know, came up was one of the early internet coaching sites, and pretty much, you know, decided that was a new medium to learn. And so I put a lot of stuff out on the internet from my site was BC Warrior back in the 90s. And then I started another one called Chuck and Duck and then started doing some YouTube stuff. And then probably about 2000 got into the whole single wing stuff. And we started running what we call a fat formation. And then started having heard about, you know, the conclave you were just talking about. And so I said, hey, West Coast guys, it's kind of hard to get all the way out to Pennsylvania. So we started a West Coast conclave, and we had that out here for 6 years before that's when I ended up moving to Eugene. So that stopped here. One of your hosts from a couple weeks ago, Harold Strauss, was a big presenter out here, and he was one of the big guys we had come, and we had a bunch of other guys that would come out and talk. And you know, then I moved up to Oregon, been coaching up here, proud to say we were the state champs this year, and my first state championship ever. So I was pretty proud of that this year.
Oh, you in hog heaven, man. I tell you, it's nothing like it, man.
Yeah.
I tell you, it's nothing like it. Now, are you running the same system at the school you are right now?
No, I'm just I just did the quarterbacks and passing game. Head coach, he ran his system, but it's a lot like my passing system. So we didn't get to run any of the single wing stuff, but a lot of the passing game is the same stuff that I've been running for, you know, actually since I started running a passing game back in 1990. So we ran a lot of the same stuff, and so I was in charge of quarterbacks, reads, passing game, stuff like that is what I did.
Now, before single wing, what were you doing?
single back run and shoot type stuff.
Okay.
You know, we were under center from 1990 to 90, well, to 2000, and then 2000 on, we've been shotgun.
Okay.
And then, yeah, in 2000 is when we did started the fat formation stuff, and I ran that all the way up until I moved up here to Oregon.
Okay. Now, just out of curiosity, I can never figure this out, so maybe we're going to break some breaking news here, at least for me. Why did you call it the fat formation?
So when we came up, what we did, we started running, you know, I had been a fan of the single wing my whole life, watching all those old films and stuff. And my coach, when I ran in high school, he was a Lombardi guy, so, you know, he always was preaching Lombardi stuff. And he'd make those quotes like Lombardi would say, like, you know, if somebody came out running the single wing, they'd embarrass the hell out of all of us. And so I'd always watched all that stuff. And so I had a quarterback, and he was my best running back. And I really didn't have a running back at all. And so I just said, why can't we just hike it to him and run it? And so I brought in a fullback, put him at the running back spot, and out a shotgun. And I just said, okay, well, how can we run stuff? So we're going to run I-back stuff. So we ran blast, power, and sweep out a shotgun with four wide receivers. And then I'm like, when I, you know, when we were under center, we would go to what we used to call a jumbo set, which is a power I set. And I go, how could we run power I out of shotgun? And so I said, okay, so basically we're getting rid of the quarterback because we're hiking it right to the tailback. And so I moved over the two fullbacks, and I had an extra guy, so I put him at wing. And so, because I had grown up, I know you were a double wing guy. I had grown up with the double wing because Tom Caffrey, who was Don Markham's line coach back in 1971 at LA Baptist, was our rival high school at Whittier Christian. So I, not only did I play against the double wing and coached against the double wing and ran it myself, so I said, I'm going to move both those guys up like a sniffer back. And so I moved them both up, hiked it right back to the guy, and we just ran this offense. We didn't have a name for it. Mm-hmm. And so we were running it, and one of the moms comes up and goes, hey, can you run that offense where you put all the fat guys in? And because I had brought in three fullbacks, three, you know, big guys to come in and play the backs. And so I'm saying, so I told the kids, I go, well, let's go run that offense where the fat guys come in. And they go, coach, let's call it the fat offense. And so then I just said, we're calling this the fat formation.
I mean, don't go. Because of a lady.
Yep.
Amazing. You know, I never could figure it out, but there it is. You know, if some of you guys who are not familiar with Bruce's offense are not seeing him, the fat formation is similar to what we call it, I believe, right? On the East Coast, that's what
Yeah, it's really similar to the Beast. And what's kind of funny about that is Steve Calandi, I had talked to him the first year that I ran the Fat and he had ran the Beast. And I was like, we had met through the internet and we exchanged tapes and stuff. And it was funny how we both came up with the exact same offense on different coasts and came from it from different ways. And it was amazing, you know, that, I mean, the exact same time, you know, we were both doing it, you know, inventing those type of things. And it was like, you know, his is a little different. He, you know, mine are a little closer to the center and we can hike it to the back, you know, to the blocking back. His are a little bit farther. And I think he runs his unbalanced where I'm balanced. And, but, you know, pretty much, you know, almost same offense.
Now, you've been balanced most of the time. Did you ever go unbalanced at any time?
Oh, I go unbalanced all the time. My philosophy on the balance is I like to run the balance and lure them into running a normal defense. And then when I get them in that normal defense, then I throw the unbalance at them. Because a lot of times when you come out in unbalance, you know, you get bastardized defenses all the time when you run it on balance. You know, do the overshift and make your guard to center, you know, and all kinds of things. And I didn't want to mess with it. So I was like, we're just going to run a balanced offense so that they line up in a balanced defense, and then we'll hit them with the unbalance.
Now, your kids must have enjoyed it because they look happy.
Yeah, they love running it. You know, we did a lot of things in practice that kind of built that pride in the offense. We would line up and run the plays, and I would go over and tell the defense, we're going to run it right here, stop it. And they would still get a couple yards. And then I would say, go put some more guys on defense. And so I would put 15 guys over there. I think one time we had 21 guys over there. And the kids still got a yard on offense, got a yard off the play. And, you know, I'm like, going to go right here. And they'd put the whole team right there. And we would still get off the ball and get through. And so what happened, the kids were like, thought they became invincible. Like, nobody could stop this. You know, we're unstoppable. And, you know, they just took pride in running it.
How do you develop programs, Bruce? I mean, did you spend all the time at what's that, Brother?
Yeah, Brethren Christian. Yeah.
Could you
a lot of times?
Us a little bit about
one of the things I had there. Yeah, one of the things I had there is it's a middle and a high school together, private school, and so I have the kids from sixth grade on, but. The only problem I have is they play flag football in junior high. We didn't have tackle football. And a lot of my kids, being a Christian school, never played tackle football before. Parents just didn't, you know, like Pop Warner coaches cussing at their kids and stuff. And so they never put them in that type of thing. And so I had a lot of kids that, when they came into the system, had never played tackle football before. And so this offense really helped because, one, it was really easy to learn, and two, the kids learned to get tough really quick because they had, you know, they had to hit all the time. And so what we do to developing is, you know, I had them in a lifting program early. They learned the system and the numbering early. And really a lot of what we did is just make things fun. And so they got part of just wanting to be part of something that was fun, you know? So all my ball boys were from my, you know, from the junior high, and, you know, they always hung around the program. And so, you know, it was like they couldn't wait to come up.
So you had that excitement built in there with the kids. What about your administration? I mean, did you have a good rapport with them over those years?
Yeah, had a really good rapport with the administration. They were behind the program. You know, I had to fight my AD because he was the basketball coach, and you know, had to steal his kids because he would try to, you know. But we started working together, and it was like, okay, his kids got tougher in the basketball court because they played football, and it took him a while to figure that out. Once, you know, he had a point guard, and he wouldn't let him play, and then all of a sudden, his senior year, he came out and played, and then all of a sudden, he noticed he was driving to the hoop a lot stronger, and mm-hmm. because he wasn't scared about getting hit anymore. And so then that finally turned him around. And so the basketball kids started coming out, and, you know, so yeah, the administration was really behind everything we did, and, you know, other than, you know, when they had to make the cuts and get rid of me, you know, everything else was great. I mean, they gave me all the money I needed. They gave me all the resources, everything I needed, to run the program great.
Well, what changed that you that they decided that they didn't keep you around anymore, or they couldn't afford to keep you around? That's what you're saying.
The biggest problem they had is the economy going down. People just didn't start sending their kids to the school, and we just started losing numbers. I mean, we were losing, you know, 30, 40 kids a year, and so I mean, the, like – when I started there, the school was, you know, was up in the high 300s, and when I left, it was in the low 200s, and they just couldn't afford it. You know, so what they end up doing, and it doesn't help too. I had a really good assistant coach. His name's Pat McAnally. He played in the NFL, Hall of Famer, and with the Cincinnati Bengals. And
yeah,
he was a wide receiver and a punter. And
yeah.
You know, and he's retired. So they basically, it was like we can hire, you know, somebody who's not a teacher there, save that salary. And the AD was a full-time AD, and he didn't have to teach classes. So it was just easy to get the AD to teach my classes and then have a walk-on coach. You know, from a financial standpoint, it made sense. I didn't like it. And, you know, obviously a lot of people didn't like it. But, you know, from a financial stance, they came in and you know, were able to just basically eat my contract. And I wasn't the only one. I mean, anybody that had been there for more than 20 years and was making a lot of money, they got rid of all of them.
Okay. Now, you, like you said before, you were one of the first coaches out there who actually started pioneering this internet thing. How did you get involved with that?
Right. So there was a guy named Toby, Coach Toby, down in I want to say he was in Alabama.
Yeah, I remember Coach Toby.
And he had a website, and I found his website, and so I sent him some stuff to put on it. And then I was like, hey, I could do this myself, because I was big into computers, and so I decided, oh, okay, well, I'm gonna start my own website. And I think that was like 1996, 97. And I just started. And what was really kind of funny is that whenever we played an opponent, and I was scouting their team, I would just make up the offense or defense, and then I put it on my website. And so everybody that all that stuff on the BC Warrior that I put up there, different offenses and defenses, is just everybody that I've been playing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, okay, I'll just make it, you know, and the system was all my numbering, and, you know, or I would use a generic name and number, and then just like, okay, oh, we played this spread option team, that offense goes up there. This 4-3 team, this offense goes up there. And, you know, I just basically, you know, put those up there, and then, you know, one or two of the offenses were mine. And I remember early when I was doing it, my principal comes and he goes, why are you putting all your stuff up on the internet? You know, and I go, I don't care if everybody knows what I'm running. And he says, they don't know when I'm running it. You know, he says, it's not like they got hearing my calls. You know, if they can't figure out what I'm running from film, then they're not a good coach. Because that's all I'm doing is I'm figuring out what they're doing and I'm putting that up on the internet. I go, I'd be pissed if they think I'm putting their offense and defense up on the internet.
Where do you see yourself going from here? I mean, as far as the internet and everything.
You know, I like this consultant stuff that people are doing. You know, that was a lot of what I'm doing now. Is kind of just being like a master coach. I'm there and I'm a resource and I help out and do things. And, you know, I'm coaching a position, but, you know, like the defensive coordinator during the game, he'd say, hey, you know, he'd come over and start asking me questions. What do you see? You know, and it's almost like I was there scouting during the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what I like on it right now. You know, I'm getting older, my health's not too great, and, you know, I can't do the things I did when I was younger, you know, so I'm that's where I'm looking at, you know, consultant wise, and, you know, helping other coaches out, which has been one of my things forever. You know, I had a bunch of coaches help me when I was younger, and, you know, I'm an open book to anybody that wants to talk now.
And you've done a couple of, if I read your bio, you've done a couple of video series also?
Yes. Yeah, I just recently just did the whole fat formation one, and you know, whole package system, and basically it's a full, I call it an encyclopedia of single wing stuff, because it basically incorporates any part of single wing systems that you've seen out there into one big system. Obviously, you know, you could just run the base stuff. And that's all you need, you know, run like Dave Caesar calls his Sainted Six. You could just run the basic plays and run that and be a full offense, or you could take it anywhere you want, and, you know, and add whatever you want to it. And so did that with Championship Productions. And but I had a passing one with Championship Productions back in the early 2000s that I did. And then I did a jet sweep and fat formation one for Coach's Choice back in the late 2000s. So I got three video series that I ended up doing.
Well, I know I got the one, the jet sweep, because I bought that about 3-4 years ago. I think I bought that about three. I forgot, but it's in my library somewhere. And because I was looking at doing some things, but I just like looking at your kids perform with this thing. I mean, they're nasty.
They're mean.
How did you get private school guys to be that nasty and mean?
A lot of it is just, you know, one of the things we did, and we just hit all the time. And we did some, you know, we just did a lot of hitting drills. And a lot of it was I had to just teach them that, like they had never played before. And, you know, so we just did a lot of stuff where they just hit, you know, and that whole pride part of it is just like, you know, we can't be stopped. And, you know, and that kind of just over, you know, spills into their play. It's just like, we're going to be scrappy. You know, and the whole time we were playing, you know, it was both leagues that we were in, because we switched leagues about midway through my coaching career. We ended up playing with the top team in the state in our league every year. And, you know, so we always had somebody we had to be shooting for all the time. And so, you know, we always stepped up our competition and played a lot of teams that were better than us. And, you know, just to build our confidence. And I think a lot of that came over. It was just, you know, we were playing that underdog role, playing the scrappy guy, you know, coming in there and saying, you know, like Rocky, we're going to overcome this and, you know, try to beat the odds.
Why do you, you know, I've always been mystified by this. We have proven that anything with a wing is pretty good. It all depends on your flavor and everything. Why do you not see more teams going to single wing? You know, especially with teams that don't have those great athletes on it. They still want to hang in there with traditional stuff. You know, let's do what everybody else does. Why do you think people don't go more to single wing?
A lot of people don't go single wing because they don't know what it is. Same reason, you know, people didn't do double wing, or, you know, because they don't understand what it is. It's the in vogue thing. If you don't see it on Sunday, you know, then there are a lot of people don't think it's real football. And, you know, my big thing is I don't even watch football on Sundays. I hate pro football. It's all about college and high school to me, because I want to see different stuff. I want to see Georgia Tech running option against, you know, Ohio State running the spread option. And, you know, I want to see different stuff. I don't want to see the exact same plays running every week. So I don't watch the pros. And, you know, I know, like, where I was at, we had a lot of people that were like, oh, why are you running this single wing? Because, you know, we're in Southern California. We're the home of the quarterback. And, you know, everybody's got to throw the ball. And I'm having that – I have the same thing up here in Oregon. You know, it's – you know, if you're not running Chip Kelly's offense, you're not running it. And – but the thing – what comes to it is you could do that out of the single wing. And it actually makes it more devastating because now I still have that power game and I can overwhelm you with more people at the point of attack, but I could still go to the spread. And I know that was one of the things that was really big with my team – is because we would line up at four wide and throw a passing game, and then we'd shift to the single wing, and they would stay in that passing defense because they didn't realize we had just shifted to a single wing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would come into a goal line set to stop that, and we'd shift back out four wide and throw the ball. And, you know, just moving around, and that's the thing. It's like the single wing is not – one set of, you know, there's basically five plays. It's the spinner, it's the rocker series, it's the jet series. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff you can do to it and make it your own flavor.
Mm-hmm.
There's a buddy of mine down in Florida, and I've got to remain silent of where he's at but he's running my stuff down in Florida, and they're a big school down in Florida. You know, I know the Alpaca's down there doing some stuff, but he's running like stupid sweeping stuff that down there, and it's gonna go all over the place because, you know, he's a big 6A school down in Florida running this, and
mm-hmm.
and I'll tell you afterwards because you know who he is, because he's one of the guys on the board with us on the,
okay.
on the thing, but he wants to keep it under wraps right now.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's – people are seeing it, and they're like – because he was a spread guy, and now all of a sudden, you know, he's fearing the wing. That's his big thing. And,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and he would be a great another person to have on your show, too.
Well, send me his information. I sure get – I am talking about it from Florida since I talked to Rick. And I had a chance to
pick
it so right now and everything. I had an interesting conversation with a young man a year ago, and he was all into Auburn, you know, and all this other stuff and everything. And I said, listen, Paul Malzahn, right? That's his name?
Yep.
I said, all he's doing is running wing T concept out of the spread. And I bring that up. A lot of guys don't do their homework. But when they follow systems and everything.
Well,
would you agree?
And Malzahn this year, actually, yeah, no, they definitely don't. And they don't, well, like a lot of people don't think that, you know, Ohio State's running the single wing. They're running the single wing. They just run it out of spread a little bit more. They're calling it the power. A power spread, you know. When he was running with Tebow, they were running straight out single wing with Tebow.
That's all they were doing. That's how Tebow became Heisman Trophy winner.
You know, and then Malzahn, I don't know if you saw this year, he ran some spinner stuff with the fullback.
Uh huh.
And you know, it's people are getting to it. Everybody, I mean, even Baylor. Baylor ran so much stuff where they brought in the second back, they brought in the blocking back, you know, and it's just, you know, I don't know. It's not sexy to call it the single wing because
mm-hmm.
if you call it the spread, then you know, then you can get that quarterback and wide receivers to come to your school. Cause if you say it's a single wing, they don't think they're going to get the ball but they will.
More than what they think, and it'll be wide open for them, you know. But I think it takes time to get to that point because I remember, even 5 years ago, when you mentioned single wing, you lost your mind, and now it's a little bit better to talk about single wing or double wing or any other point now because I think people understand it puts a lot of pressure on the defense. How much points did you? And I know you probably kept up with this. What was your average point per game over those years, if you remember?
You know, we were high 30s, early 40s. Mm-hmm. You know, we were up in the 30s and 40s a lot. You know, a lot of the times, a lot of the years I played, I mean, we maybe only had 20 guys on the varsity team. And so we had a lot of guys going both ways. So there was a lot of shootouts that we had. So we had to score a ton of points because we'd get tired on defense, and then, you know, they scored just as many. But yeah, I mean, I don't remember ever being shut out in 20 years.
So it's a lot of points and 20 guys that you play with there. And how many games did you win over that period of time, Marcus?
We were 50-50, you know.
Okay.
We were always right there. We were always right there, second place in league. And, you know, like, because I didn't really care if you could always schedule cupcakes and have a good mm-hmm. record. I was always scheduling better teams because I wanted to be better, because I needed to beat that best team in the league, and there was no way I was going to beat them beating cupcakes. And so I was always scheduling somebody a lot better than us and somebody that was, you know, going to test us. So we didn't win a lot of games in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I wins and losses to me, I mean, I know a lot of people, you know, go off of the thinking success off that. You know, to me is, are you winning your league, and are you beating the best team in your league? And that's what I was always shooting for. And, you know, so I was I just didn't schedule easy wins. And so we took a lot of losses because, you know, we were playing a school that was a lot bigger than us.
Now, in your thing, you say you do a lot of blogs and everything. Is that attached to your website, BruceEan.com?
Yes. And all I do with the blogs is just easier for me to take all the different mediums from YouTube or writing articles and pictures and stuff. I can put them all together on a blog, and so it's just easier for me to collect them together.
And you have, a good audience, I would assume.
Yeah.
How many calls on a weekly basis do you get from coaches actually wanting to seriously talk to you about what you do? Not as a gimmick, but as learning what you
I don't get as many now. I get more emails now, but when my phone number was out there all the time, and when I was down at Brethren, and I had a phone number and everybody could get to me. Oh, I got calls all the time, but more people email me and talk than what I, you know, but start right now, because that number on, you know, on my YouTube videos, they call that number don't exist anymore. So, but yeah, it's really weird. I mean, I've talked to guys that are coaching football. Like, I have a guy right now that's calling me, that talks to me, and he's running a woman's team down in Australia. And
yeah.
I have another guy that's coaching a team down in Mexico, and I have a guy over in Europe, and I have a guy down in South America. And so, I mean, it's worldwide. I have a friend that coached a team in Japan running my stuff. Japan, let me tell you about that system. So, and this is something we might need to think about this in America, the way that they're taking away our coaching stipends. So he coaches the team, but he only coaches the team one day a week in game day. Because in Japan, the older players are required to coach the team. So the high school he was at, the seniors coached the team 4 days a week. He coached it one day a week. And he wasn't allowed to be there the other 4 days.
Why did they do that?
It's part of their tradition. You've seen the things on Facebook where in Japan they don't hire janitors because the kids clean up the school themselves.
Right.
It's just the way they do. That's the way they do things. They are real big on the older children coaching the younger children in all aspects of life. And so in their sports, the coach comes in one day a week, gives the direction on what they need to do, and then the older kids implement that plan.
That's teaching responsibility right there, right there, right off the rip.
When he told me about this probably back in 1998, 99, and I really went to that type of thing for the senior leadership. And I know I do it in my weightlifting classes. I do it out in the football field. My older kids teach my younger kids all the time. And if you think about it from a teaching standpoint, you know, there's that thing going around with all the teacher things. You know, if you tell them something or if they hear something, they only remember 30% of it. But if they can teach it, they remember 80% of it. And if you think about it, so I've done that, you know, with tackling, with lifting weights, you know, blocking, all kinds of things. My older kids teach it all the time.
My head is spinning right now. Okay, my wheels are spinning. Because I'm at a new situation. I'm just finishing up my first year here. We definitely have to do some different things to get their attention and everything. You know, and I've always been a wild five different things. So that's piquing my. I'm gonna give you a call to talk to you more about that. You know, off the air and everything.
Okay.
How did you run your off season program, your weightlifting program?
I was fortunate enough that we had three weightlifting classes and everybody was in a weightlifting class that was in PE. And then if they weren't, we had an after school program where they came in, but most of my lifting was pretty much only the linemen. I really got sick of wide receivers hiding in the weight room. And so I would, you know, you'd bring them in there and they want to lift. They didn't want to lift. And so they would jerk around and get the other kids not wanting to lift. So I kicked them out. Mm-hmm. And I said, if you're not going to lift, then you're going to run. And so the line coach came and the lineman lifted. And then anybody else that wanted to lift, lifted. And then everybody else who didn't want to lift, they came out and ran routes with me. And I ran the crap out of them. And I go, well, then if you're not going to get stronger in the weight room, then you're going to be the best conditioned person alive.
Mm-hmm.
And you find out those lazy kids want to lift a whole lot more than run a lot. And then the other big thing we did is everything was a competition. You know, so the whole Pete Carroll competition stuff, we've been doing that in the weight room. So if somebody lifted something, we were talking crap all day at school. You know, so-and-so, he just power cleaned 250 pounds. And, you know, his name went up on a board, and I was telling every class about what he did. And I was hitting, you know, I would start getting other kids' face. I go, so-and-so just outlifted you. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, I had kids coming in at lunch. And it was like, well, how am I going to get better? I'm going to start lifting at lunch now. And, you know, I'm going to start doing this. And I just started making it a competition. And then when, you know, just let them, you know, let their competitive juices go. And I didn't have to have a problem with lifting because the kids wanted to lift. And, you know, if you didn't want to lift, I got rid of you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you went and did something else because I don't want no cancers in there. Because kids standing around not wanting to lift mess everybody else up.
Did you have any discipline issues that you had to deal with I know we all
have to, but you know, I had, being these are some rich entitled kids, and so sometimes we probably had some drug issues. I had to deal with a lot, and you know they did. You know they had money and you know got into things and you know it just came down to it and you know it was we just had a no tolerance policy. If you do this, you're done. Mm-hmm. And but yeah, you know I've had to kick off. I had to kick off probably the best kid on my team middle of the season. You know, caught him smoking weed in the middle of the season. I go, you're done. Kicked him right off the team. And, you know, and we lost games because of it. But, you know, it's going to set a tone. You're not going to do this stuff here.
And I'm glad you shared that because a lot of guys, sometimes we think that we're the only isolated people who got problems and everything. But guys, you know, it's out there all the way. You know what I mean? A lot of people have those kind of issues. And the issue is not the problem. It's how you deal with it. That's where you come in. That's
yep.
how your program is built. You know, and if you don't handle that,
that's
right, what it can destroy you.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You how can I gently ask this? and it's not a hard question. I'm just trying to figure the right way to ask you. Your coach that you have right now, your head coach at work, how long have you been there? And I don't want to put you on the spot. So if you don't.
Oh no, this is my second year with him.
Okay, he never asked you about this. The offense, or ask you about what you're doing and everything? Or you never had the
issue? No. No, he knows all about it. He's just, you know, as all coaches are, you know, they have their system and he wants to run what he's running and, you know, it's his program. And, you know, so he uses, you know, I got him a run wedge. It took a while, but
well, the best hope for him.
Well, it's all of a sudden, you know, it's like we lined up, and then he has the, you know, we had a real good running back, and you know, we had a all-state quarterback, you know, started 4 years, and the kid could throw the ball, so I mean. You know, you'd almost be dumb not to throw the ball with this kid. He threw for over 10,000 yards in his career.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but then he decided, oh, okay. So what he had to do is that they'd line up, and it looked like the quarterback was calling audibles, and the running back snuck up, took the snap, and they ran wedge. And
mm-hmm.
you know, so you know, it was like, okay, well, you know. He knows. He always added a little bit here and there and stuff. It just, you know, but he's going to run when he's going to run. And I didn't want to push it upon him. I said, you know, I'd make suggestions and, you know. You know, it was gracious. It was gracious he hired me.
Yeah, well, that's a good point right there. That's a very, real good point and everything. Now, you think you're going to be a head coach again? You want to be a head coach again or? You just satisfied
yeah,
with
you know, I would like to, but I don't know if I could physically be the head coach anymore. Just because I was, you know, I was a head coach what 2 years ago, three, so 2013, and
mm-hmm.
it just physically killed me dealing with everything again, and. I'd rather just be an office coordinator is what I'd really like to be now.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to just run my offense and call the plays. And that was the only reason I was head coach in the first place, so I could run what I wanted.
Mm-hmm. Now, back at Brother Christian School, what kind of staff did you have? Did you have a full staff? Were there two of you or what?
It really depended. Some years, it was me and another guy. And other years I have eight coaches. I'd have, you know, four on defense, four on offense. And that was one of the things on my defensive coordinator. He was his own coach. He ran whatever he wanted to do. All he had to do was just explain to me what he was doing. And then basically let me see what holes they were doing. And then I learned early on, because I was a control freak and I started messing things up, trying to get in there. And so I learned early on to let them have full autonomy and just go for it. And I'm not going to mess with you until they did something, you know, maybe that was just like totally crazy. But yeah, and so it just depended on, because all my coaches were walk-ons, because there was no team. I didn't have anybody on staff ever.
Okay.
And so
they were volunteer coaches?
No, they got paid. I had paid coaches. I think I had, well, I think I had four paid stipends, and then like the years I had eight coaches, you know, I'd have a few that were just, you know, volunteers, you know, and then in some years, you know, like I said, when there was two of us, you know, I think I paid the one year I paid the guy two stipends.
Mm. Okay. You were very generous.
Yeah. Well, if it didn't go to him, it went back to the school, so might as well spend it.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Now, you, in your early coaching career, you said that you were running more power stuff and everything. Is that what a concept of going up the single wing, that power mentality? Is that why you went hog wild into it, by the way?
I think my mentality happened from high school, because, like I said, my coach was we ran I-backs, and we were, you know, power left, power right, and I was the left tackle, and 25 power was the play, and they ran that play behind me, and that's basically, you know, how my philosophy grew up in football, because, you know, it was just power, 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 power. And so I think when it came time to go to the wing, the power just made sense to me, because, you know, that's what I knew. And, you know, so that's, yeah, like you said, that I was just drawn to that because of my upbringing.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite moment in coaching? So one of your favorite moments. You've been there for half a century. What is one of your favorite moments? How's that?
My favorite moment is the time when we're playing somebody and they they're shutting us down and they're stopping stuff. And you see the fear in the kids' eyes, and then you turn them and you go, hey, you guys got to just dig deeper. We've got to do something. And then all of a sudden you start chipping away at them. And then you see the confidence building back in their eyes. And I think that's probably the thing that I love the most, because you just saw that they could have just quit and roll over, and they don't, and they come back. And I think that's probably, you know, one of the best life lessons that you get in football, is that everything is coming down on you hard, and you strap it up and bring it back. And I think that's probably the biggest thing that I look at that and just say, you know what, that's why I'm here.
A lot of your guys come back to see you. Oh, when you were there, did a lot of them come back?
Coming back. I mean, it's now. These guys are some of these guys are 40-something years old, and, you know, they're around. One of my ex-players, he's the running back coach at University of Nebraska, named Reggie Davis. And he coached with the 49ers and Oregon State and stuff. And, you know, I think he's 45 now. And, you know, it's just talking to him on the phone, and it just goes back to, you know, we were back in, you know, when he was a player of mine, and it's, you know, even though I don't talk to him for a year, then all of a sudden it comes right back. And, you know, it's just like we go right back to that. And, you know, I don't know. It's my love for him, his love for me, you know, and other players that I have, you know. It's just you talk to them and, you know, they just say, hey, coach, you know, you were one of the biggest influences I ever had. And, you know, and I always like to tell them, and I go, yeah, but, you know, you probably taught me more than you think I ever taught you. You know, because they each, you know, as I'm watching them be fathers now and stuff, and it's, you know, their life, you know, was, you know, impacted by stuff I did, and you know, I'm just proud of that.
You were, a great influence in the community. That just lost. You know, you're trying, you're broken, you're awesome. You ever had one like that?
You broke up on that one.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Did you ever have a kid that you were, you know, that your heart was broken, that you just couldn't turn around, you just couldn't get him to see, and then you just plain lost him? You ever had one or two like that?
Yeah, I've had a couple like that, and you know, there was a couple kids that I had to kick off the team, and then they went south, and their parents blamed me, saying I took away the most positive thing in their life, and I really felt bad about that, but I also noticed that those kids, because of that, they understand where they need to come back to. And so even though they went and hit rock bottom, they knew where to come back to come up. And so I don't know. I still feel bad that I had to kick them off. But, you know, one of those things, I'm not going to let them ruin everybody else. And I wish their life would have changed, but they were just making, you know, wrong decisions. And there's been a couple, but yeah, it's most of the time I, if you'll take my discipline, I'll take you back. But there's been a few where I've had to let go forever.
Did you have overall good support from your parents?
Yeah, most of my parents were really good. One of the things that I think, and a lot of people can't do this, but I had, you know, they always, every coach says he has an open door policy. Well, I had an open door policy, and enough that I would actually even seek parents out. And the problem was some of the parents, they could ask me anything they wanted to ask me. But I would always start off, are you ready for the real answer? Because I'm going to tell you the real answer. And if you can't handle the real answer, then maybe you shouldn't be asking the real question. And so a lot of my parents didn't have problems because I was real with them about things. And so they were pretty good. And it really helps, though, too, for problems when you've got 20 kids and then you try to make everybody, you know, go both ways that can. I didn't have much playing it problems because everybody played. And that tends to be the biggest problem you have with parents is playing time. So I didn't have to deal with that as much. You know, if I had a team of 60 kids and I had a bunch of kids that weren't playing, I think my parent issues would be a little bit worse, because now I'd have to, you know, tell the parents, okay, well, your kid's, you know, not playing because of this and this. And, you know, but, yeah. Maybe that's probably my best advice to a young coach, too, is play as many kids as you can, and then that takes care of half, you know, most of your parent problems.
Yeah, we got a rule here that, you know, especially on the low level, every kid plays at least a couple of quarters, a quarter or two, because I don't want –
yeah.
And what mom and daddy's asking for is bragging rights. I tried to explain that to them. You know, it's not about – you do the right things in practice, fundamentals and everything, you're going to win your fair games and everything. But it's just not fair for that young kid to be sitting over there all night. Then you put him in for a couple of plays. Because, you know, then you produce a problem. Problem for me and a problem for the kid, you know. I don't need any more problems. So you're making mandatory that damn play. If you were...
I agree.
If a young guy coming out of college was to come to you and say, Coach, I want to get into this insane business called coaching, how would you advise him?
Oh, I would definitely tell him he needs to get into it and then, you know, start where he could go. One of the biggest problems, I think, with younger coaches now is they want to be handed the top level. They don't want to work for anything. You know, I started off as a JV lineman coach. And, you know, and then I was an assistant line coach on a varsity. And, you know, you build your time up. They want to walk in and be the head coach at 21, you know, or they want to walk in and be a coordinator. And they don't want to put in the time. You know, I went to clinics and, you know, worked for free all the time. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, the big thing is you know, are they really to put in the time? Because it's not about money, you know. And, you know, I know a lot of my kids when they come in, that, you know, college kids, and they go, okay, I'll let you come work, but you're going to work for free. Now, I had the money to pay them, and
mm-hmm.
most of the time I was going to pay them, but I wanted to see if they'd work for free. Because if they're working for free, then they're telling me that they're working because they love to play, the coach and be part of the game, and it's not about the money. And then once they came in and – said they were working for free, then I paid them.
Now, did you, anyone of your kids ever come to you and ask you to tell you that they wanted to coach?
Most of my coaches were ex-players.
Okay. Now, are they still coaching today, or are they just...
Most of them are still coaching today.
That's great. That is fantastic because, you know, like your story, I mean, I started out as an assistant water boy coach
mm-hmm.
back in the day, you know, and just worked, you know, the head coach had nothing to do. I made sure he was taken care of, you know, and I try to sit down.
Yep.
And when I sit down and talk to these guys, the head coach, make sure that the head coach had nothing to do. All he had to do was show up. I took care of every little thing that possibly could be. And I spent extra time with him asking questions. Why? You know? And a lot of these guys don't want to do that. They want to go in their own little world and everything. So, but you know, that's the destination. You okay over there?
Yeah.
That's the nature of the beast these days, you know. I don't know why we, you know, I don't know what the answer is to it, because that's the world we live in right now, the microwave type of world, you know, where they want it right now. You,
Yeah, they want everything right now, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. You will obviously be putting more stuff out on your YouTube channel. And how do you plan to develop that in the future and everything, so guys can, you know, are you going to write a book?
You know, I tried to write a book, and for some reason, my I'm good at presentations. I'm good at making videos. For some reason, when I start writing, I go off on tangents. Yeah, I try to write a passing book, and actually, I mean, I have it all, you know, together, but it just, I don't know. It's just, it's me talking, like doing a clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And I approached one of my coaches who was an English teacher and said, hey, you know, all I need you to do is basically, I'm going to give you all this stuff and you're going to write it. And you can get half the credit for this book. Mm-hmm. And he didn't want to do it. And then I approached another coach who wrote a book and gave him an idea for a book, which I have, and told him, I'm never going to write this book because I've tried to write this book for 10 years and I can't write it. And, you know, he didn't have the time to write it. And so I just got to, you know, I don't know. I'm real good at writing clinics and doing videos and stuff like that, but when it comes down to actually writing and writing and writing and writing, it don't work out for me.
Well, maybe somebody in our listening audience, maybe they'll hear this and they know somebody who wants to do that challenge. That's one thing about being on the there, you know, I have the same issue right here. I got a book inside me, but just can't seem to put it together and everything. And one of these days I'm gonna sit down, just settle down, just get it done. Gotta be doing it. I'm doing a lot right now, but maybe one day I'll sit down and do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's inside me. It's inside me. Where did you come up with the name Chuck and Duck?
So, the Run and Shoot, everybody basically, when they were making fun of the Run and Shoot back in the 90s, or in the 80s and 90s when it was going around, they just called it the Chuck and Duck offense. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to call it Chuck and Duck. Because, you know, actually somebody asked me one time, they go, why do you want to name your, you know, that derogatory name? And I'm like, you know, any type of notoriety is good. I don't know, what do you want to call it? So basically I wanted people to remember the name. That was the biggest reason.
Well, I always remember the name. It always stuck out with it.
It was a passing website, and you know, and basically I had really good story behind that one. So the playbooks that are on there are actual playbooks that I redrew, because back in the day I had every playbook that's out there right now on the internet. I had over 5,000 playbooks, and I was trading with everybody. And that was one of the good things about my high school. You know, we had a mail system, so I was mailing stuff out left and right. I don't know how much money went through there, me mailing videotapes and playbooks. And so I got cease and desist letters from Buddy Ryan. And Buddy Ryan's lawyers sent. Oh, yeah. I got a couple of them. Got one from Bill Snyder. You know, basically, you know, you need to stop with my playbook and blah, blah, blah. And one of my friends who I traded with was a lawyer. And so I go, what are you going to do? And he goes, they want me to send them the playbook. And he goes, is it the original? And I go, no, it's a copy. He goes, well, you own that paper. They don't own that paper. They just own the rights of what's on that paper. But you own that paper, so don't send them the paper. And so then I told him, I go, so can I produce, if I copy it and I draw a picture of it, and even though I reproduce it exactly the same way, He says, no, then you own the intellectual rights to that because you produced it. He says, because they don't own the rights to, you know, that defense or that offense because, you know, you can't copyright stuff. And so I just took playbooks. So, you know, Steve Spurrier, one of his old playbooks that's all around, I took it. I got on Playmaker Pro. I made the exact playbook the exact same way, wrote everything down, and put that up there. You know, and then I took whoever was the in vogue passer at that time, and then, you know, I put those playbooks up there. And then I started talking to everybody else, you know, who's now, you know, like Chris Brown and these guys that are like, you know, the new big guys all over the internet. I started saying, hey, send me articles, and we started putting stuff up on there. And mostly what it was, you know, there was at that time there was the double wing board and the wing tee board and a veer board, and I just wanted to have a passing board that was that basically everybody could go to, and then and that's where, you know, that whole website started.
Well, you have done marvelous things, you know. Give us older guys, as older culture, you know, an avenue, you know, to put our stuff up and everything, you know, just to give back. You know, a lot of people like to monetize and everything, but, you know, anything we want to do, anything I can do to help these young guys, you know, put it up there to help people, because it was given to us, it was given to me, and
yep.
You know, I just want to give back, and this is one of the reasons we started this forum right here. Well, Bruce, I'm going to let you get back to your wife and everything. And
all right.
Man, I really enjoyed this. I really did.
I did too, man. That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, and I hope to have you back on again here pretty soon. And I'm going to give you a call there because I'm here sometime this week. I want to get our website kind of fine-tuned and everything the way you got yours. And, you know, kind of get some ideas from you. Yeah. Got to get some ideas.
Okay.
Any parting advice, remarks, anything you want to make before we shut it down?
No, just this is a great program. And I love it. You know, I went back and listened to a few of these things. And, you know, I love all these things. So it's awesome.
Okay. Well, Bruce, thank you a bunch. And, gosh, if I can do anything to help you, man, just holler.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Glad to be on here today.
Thank you so much. Pleasure was mine. Okay.
Bye.
Guys, that was the great Bruce Ean. And if you go to his website, which is BruceEan.com, you will find a massive amount of information and stuff that you can pick up to use in your program. Like I said, you know, most of the stuff we use anyway is stolen. And if you're going to steal, you might as well steal good stuff. Well, this concludes our show tonight. For everybody listening, we got our show tomorrow night where we are talking to the African-American coaches in the state of South Carolina. Tomorrow night we have Butch Crosby from Bamberg Earhart High School. And we start tomorrow at 7 o'clock. And Butch is... done marvelous thing on there, Bamberg, since he's taken over then. I think he's been there about 10, 11 years, and a couple of states, state championships appearance. And, you know, the one thing I enjoy and I love about his program, he puts those guys in schools. And you're going to love his story, what he does in that small community down there as far as putting these kids in to the, taking them to the next level. So, We off tonight, and just enjoy the week. You know, for the people who are going to be hit with the snow and everything, you know, if you don't have to get out, then stay warm. And we'll be back next week. I'll be posting those things, I guess, and everything later on in the week. Okay? You guys, have a good night. And I think to myself.
What a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white. The bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue. Clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky. Also on the faces of people going by, I see friends shaking hands, saying how do you do. They're really saying I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They're like much more. To myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Good night, everybody. Stay warm. Give somebody a hug and tell them you love them. Good night.